Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good afternoon, Patriots, and welcome back to another episode of Occam's Razor. I see there is someone in the chat over on Rumble who is concerned about the well-being of John Mark Dugan. A number of people have reached out to me wanting to make sure that I've spoken with him. I can assure you I have. As far as I know, he's fine. I will reach out again today. You know, people get very worried because he's over there in Russia, but as far as I know, he's not allowed to go into Ukraine anymore, so I think he's out of harm's way. But the last I spoke with him, which wasn't that long ago, he's doing fine. But that's not the topic of conversation today. There is a lot of news, believe me. I'm sure you guys saw that Elon Musk has publicly said Twitter manipulated elections here in America. Well, actually, he didn't specify America, and considering that Brazil has a large presence on Twitter as well, and Brazil is dealing with their own issues with their national election, and the people of Brazil are not having it, and the military of Brazil seem to have the back of the people. Who knows what other information might be coming out? Elon has yet to drop the sauce. He's also said publicly just earlier today his Neuralink technology is ready for prime time. It's going to begin human testing very, very soon. That has people worried. Nobody likes the idea here of getting brain chips implanted. I gotta be honest, I'm not looking forward to it myself. But is there something positive that could come out of it? I don't know. We're gonna dig in it. We're gonna talk about it. We've also got a lot of other topics we're gonna be covering. President Trump's tax returns. Jeez, oh, Pete, they finally got him. Do me a favor, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn. We will be right back after this. All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. And for some reason, I don't have the Rumble chat on screen, so let me just get that back up here. Oh, bad existing Rumble chat. There we go. All right. And I also want to address a comment from somebody over on Truth Social. On the day Dr. Zelenko died, somebody had said it in the chat, and I said, oh, I don't think that's true because I hadn't seen it yet. But then I immediately went and checked it and verified that it was true, and I apologized to the person. Miss Sue is very upset, saying that I was rude to her, basically calling her a liar. That wasn't what I was doing. When you're live on the air and people are saying things to you in the chat, you know, you're kind of just talking off the top of your head. And if I hadn't verified something, I wasn't certain about it. But I did verify it, and it was a personal tragedy. Dr. Zelenko was a friend. If I came off as a jerk, that certainly wasn't my intention. Maybe it was the idea of learning that somebody I knew personally had potentially died while I was on the air. Maybe it was, you know, distressing to me. But either way, I'm sorry about that, Miss Sue. Certainly didn't mean to offend you. And I think that it's kind of silly that, you know, it's gone this far. But anyways, Abe, how are you? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was a tough one. First time without the kids and grandkids. It was tough, bro. But this community is great. They've just been keeping the prayers coming, been lifting me up and, helping me get through it. So we're getting through it one step in the front of the other, one foot in front of the other day, one day after the next. So one day at a time pretty much is where I'm still at with life. But we're doing all right. And this community is just amazing. This is the part of the foxhole that the future will be told, about the foxhole. It's not just the foxhole. It's the greater family that we have here, but the foxhole was a microcosm of that. So if you guys haven't made an account over there yet, become part of the family and just seeing the different shows that are on throughout the day, people interacting with each other. It's not just there. It's Rumble. It's all the other places as well. But, just, I love this community, man. And it just reminds you that we're here for a reason. I met you for a reason. And we're in this fight together for a reason. And just to piggyback off of the live comment, it is so hard, bro, to react to what chat's coming at you live from anonymous people. There's not a face behind what's being said, so you can't really put it in context. So I have had so many times where I've read something in a way because I was in a thought process over here,
right?
But then read something over here where I didn't quite put the two together. It's so hard to react like that, and it's easy for people in the audience to not see that side of it. But it's a big part of it. So stay patient with the presenters out there, fam. It's tough to do things live when you're trying to react to the context of what chat's saying, but much love to you all out there. You have a great crowd working your way in over there on Rumble. I see all the fam working the way over there as well. Gaffer and Mad Taco and Lonely German and Red Pill Girlfriend. God bless you. You take care of the pooch over there. I can't find my muffin gate thing. I wanted to put that out there for a sticker, but Joyful Lily, Man of Mom, many others out there. D Patriots in the house on Foxhole. Great crowd over there as well. Thanks guys for being here today. God bless you all.
I appreciate it. You know, I guess maybe the reason it bugs me is because I'm not rude to anybody. I'm not dismissive to anybody. And the idea of coming off like that to somebody, I mean, it is personally worrisome to me because it's obviously not something that I would do intentionally. So, you know, I appreciate what you said, Abe. Thank you very much. And yeah, you guys, if I am sitting here just like, you know, talking on various subjects and then I see something fly by in the chat, I'm never going to attack you personally. I'm certainly never going to call anybody in the chat a liar, even when I think people are liars, because occasionally, you know, people come in and they try to you know, I guess shitpost. You know, they want to do something to get you riled up. But I remember this particular instance, and I'm actually very surprised that it went down the way it did. So, Miss Sue, this is my public apology to you because I'm sorry you felt that way. That wasn't the way I wanted to make you feel. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this. The situation in Brazil. This is interesting, Abe, because I was talking about this on Tuesday. You know, who would have thought that the people of China would be rising up against their government in our modern age, where it's a totalitarian regime over there? Okay, who would have thought the people of China would have the balls to stand up to the communist regime? And in Brazil, okay, they have one stolen election, and the people of Brazil are millions strong out there in the street begging the military to step in. The United States have had two back-to-back stolen elections, and still the activist wing of the Republican Party and the conservatives here in America are not out there in the street. Now, you know, I'm obviously not advocating for people to commit acts of violence. I think civil disobedience is a tool that has been used to great effect here in the United States. The left has shown us on a number of occasions how effective it can be. Now, of course, the one time the right attempted to do this in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, the process was subverted. And this is why I always tell people to quit Fed posting. Stop talking about doing illegal things because you make yourself look like a fool and you make the people around you nervous and it stops them from wanting to use their constitutional authority to make their voices heard. We should have every right available at our disposal to go out there into the streets and to tell an illegitimate government that we will not be governed and that we are going to tell you what's wrong with this situation that we find ourselves in right now. The people of China are out there doing it right now with zero COVID lockdown policies. The people of Brazil are doing it right now with their government and the communist felon Lula da Silva that has apparently been elected president. Now, December 12th,
is the certification deadline, and then I believe he would be sworn in like the first week of January, like maybe the first through the third or something like that. But I think that things are very possibly on the verge of changing in a really dramatic way, because millions of people in Brazil, no matter what this illegitimate Supreme Court says or no matter what the very slim power majority that Lula da Silva might have in the government, they're not going to be able to silence all these people. And even if he is sworn in, there is the possibility that this could continue on and it could get a lot bigger.
Watching the Great Awakening spread around the world for the past 4 years has been a sight to see. Mm-hmm. And then watching as globalists steal elections and implant their regimes all around the world to counter the free thought and the free thinking movement of free peoples. It's crazy to watch. I mean, it's been happening, you know, these counter coups and these color revolutions and all of this stuff that's been happening, all around the world, from the Middle East to Europe, to Asia, to Africa, to South and Central America, man. It's all around the world. And, you know, it's like it does feel right. Like we're watching their last grip on power, because they are having to blatantly do things right in front of people's faces to where people are just like, hold on a second. What now? So people are standing up everywhere. And it's, you know, it's the weaponization of information all around the world, right? It's when people are more informed. Part of what happened in China is they watched, they censored pictures from the World Cup of people who didn't have masks on.
They did.
It gives you an idea, right?
That's so lame.
That's what pissed off Chinese, is because they saw people celebrating in a stadium watching soccer with no mask on while they're in this, you know, they're still in mega lockdown mode. I can't even imagine a psychological effect that's had on a mass psychosis scale in China, right? Look what it's done here just in a little bit, but these people are still locked down. Seeing where this goes is interesting. I have hope for Brazil. I don't know how it's going to play itself out. I hope it's as peaceful as possible, but I freaking doubt it. It's going to probably show you what would have happened here if President Trump and the patriots in America and around the world decided to take the stand here in America at the time. So I'm afraid of where it might go. And I'm hopeful and I'm prayerful that it's as peaceful as possible. But just watching it spread around the world, man, and watching as regimes do color revolutions or blatant steals all around, you know, South Korea has been another example of a fight between globalist and the people. It's been amazing to watch, man. And you know, it's being able to document it and try to bring that perspective to you guys out there. They love watching it too, because they see it now for that what it is too, right? It's that global awakening is happening.
Absolutely. I think this gives me a lot of hope for what can be possible here in America. But as we've kind of said over and over again, you know, it doesn't happen until the people decide that they've had enough, until the pain is great enough that they have to stand up. Because if you don't, then you lose everything. We are on the brink of that happening right now, but it hasn't quite happened yet. Okay. And it may go down a little bit differently. And this is where my conversation about Elon Musk is going to be brought in here, because Elon Musk said publicly the other day that Twitter has interfered with elections. And we've talked about this before, you know, the power that he now is wielding when it comes to these behind the scenes conversations that perhaps the government and Twitter employees have had, the conversations between Twitter leadership and the trust and safety team, direct messages that could have been sent by intelligence agencies that are communicating with each other in a covert manner, determining what these applications and ops are going to be. My mother just sent a super chat over on Rumble. My Uncle Paul is going into surgery, major surgery, guys. Please, please, please keep him in your prayers. Keep my Uncle Paul and my Aunt Jo in your prayers. He's a great man. He has a lot of faith, and I know that He is somebody who has one of the best outlooks on life that of anybody that I've ever met. And he's gone through a lot recently. So please just keep him and our entire family in your prayers. I really, really appreciate it.
Indeed, we pray for Paul that he will be able to get through this okay, and you know, we pray for the family as well. Anybody else out there that's suffering in any kind of way, he's having surgery at the moment right now. God watch over Paul. We pray. Amen.
Amen. But Elon Musk, wielding this tremendous power, is putting the deep state in a position where they have to essentially be on guard. They have to attack. And we've seen this, the way that they've gone after him, in the same way they went after Donald Trump, in the same way they went after us in the alternative media. When you gain a measure of power and you have the ability to damage these people, they're not used to it. They're used to being the only game in town. And Twitter was a tremendous tool that the propagandists had at their disposal, not only to deliver information, but to coordinate information, as it were, behind the scenes. And so how did Twitter interfere with elections? Did they simply suppress conservative voices, or did they suppress information on behalf of the United States government? Did they suppress certain information on behalf of other governments? Recently, with the protests that I was mentioning in China, apparently Apple had disabled AirDrop from all iPhones in China. Stunning that they could even do that. It must be completely based on, well, I mean, it's software that is paired with hardware, because it's like a Bluetooth and then like a Wi-Fi mini network capability. So using AirDrop, if you don't have an iPhone, you can send files and information to people directly phone to phone, and it doesn't go through the cellular system. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the towers. You don't even have to have service on the phone to be able to do it. So it would have been a tool that could be used in China during these protests to spread information. Apple shut it down on behalf of the Chinese effing government, okay? So what did Twitter do on behalf of the United States government, or on behalf of the DNC, or on behalf of Adam Schiff, whoever it might be? Elon Musk holds the keys to that kingdom right now. And this has got to be a revelation once this comes out. We haven't seen the information, but I am really, really anticipating what could be inside it.
Well, there's enough speculation out there of what happened, right? Number one, the whole Biden story was suppressed and was told to be removed from all social media platforms, and anybody who dared talk about it was censored. The whole thing with around the efficacy of the vaccines, as well as how deadly this pandemic was really, all of that was censored. And so that part of the control of all of that is what led to the ability for them to steal the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. Any kind of voices that dissented on any of the main topics that the globalists allow, only in their groupthink areas, to control the thought, to control speech. You know, part of this discussion, and the Federalist has a great article today. If you guys want to check it out, I'll read it on later tonight. I'll read this article, but Europe tries desperately to rein in Elon Musk, right? Mm-hmm. And part of what, the European Union did not too long ago was the European Commission's Digital Services Act that everybody in America and everybody was like, yeah, that's great. Well, if you look at the fine print of what that actually is, it's nothing more than the government's ability to censor speech.
Oh, yeah. It's censorship regime.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. So, you know, these laws that the European Union put into place are part of also Europe's awakening, because the people of Brussels and United Kingdom and all, you know, pick a country in Europe, they're not interested in having the European Union tell them what is acceptable speech on social media or what is allowed to be searched. There are people in Brussels that I will give them, we used to do research, I would give them a link and they couldn't see the link. They were, it was censored from their view. So compartmentalized internet is, imagine how that could be controlled. Look at the results of it in China, right? That's all you need to look at.
Absolutely. And you make a great point about Europe, because obviously the people of Europe have been protesting for a couple of years now on a variety of different things. But still, many, many people out in the streets, it's specifically in the Netherlands, it's getting really bad because as a result of EU restrictions and pressure, they're going to be shutting down a large portion of the farming industry. Not only is that going to stop people from being able to support their families, and it's going to take a big chunk out of the country's infrastructure in terms of their output, it's also going to stop people being able to eat. You're not going to be able to survive in these countries if these large governmental organizations that overreach into the sovereignty of the nations they're overseeing are allowed to do whatever they want. And you know what I really like about Elon Musk, again, that whole thing with the European Union, they're threatening to block Twitter from the entirety of Europe, okay? You know, we'll see if that happens. But Elon Musk and the amount of money and power that he controls can push entire governments to the brink of being forced to capitulate to whatever he wants. Look at what just happened with Apple. Apple, as a company, has a greater GDP than most nations on planet Earth, okay? They make so much money. They wield so much power. Think about the power inherent in the Apple App Store. There was a rumor that Apple and Google were considering dropping Twitter from their App Store because Elon Musk and his free speech campaign that he's talking about. And Elon Musk had lunch with Tim Cook, and then, boom, it's all done. Everything's over. You know, it's about a lot more than just the app. Yeah, of course, these companies are demanding censorship. But when it comes down to it, Twitter is a part of the economy. And that is a part of the Elon Musk family of companies. And the Elon Musk family of companies has business relationships and supply chains that stretch into all nations on planet Earth. So Elon Musk could make life difficult for these people in a lot of different ways, above and beyond just coming out with this information. There are security contracts. There is defense spending. I mean, there is – think about the SpaceX program. If it wasn't for SpaceX, the United States wouldn't be – having a space program right now. I mean, they basically shut the whole thing down.
Yes, there is a huge amount of taxpayer dollars available for entrepreneurs all around the world to take advantage of. I have a different perspective of Elon in a lot of different ways, because he's a technocrat at its core. You know, I got wrapped up into the whole technology thing when I was working in wireless. You know, I had the first bag phone, right? So having the newest technology was always the cool thing. There's studies out there now about AirPods, and, you know, having Bluetooth in your ear for 8 hours a day, causing brain tissue to soften and things like that. I mean, there's part of the growth of all of the technology in America is our DC is a freaking disaster, and you can't get any legislation to deal with the problems that have arisen after 50 years of garbage laws. You're seeing finally some talk about antitrust out there laws, things like that. Finally, people talking about that. But the bigger picture of this is there's, so I'll just go to the foundation argument for me, right? We ethically, this country and the world doesn't have the foundation of ethics to even protect the unborn child. And China has taken over the stem cell and unethical research, Yao Ming, of experimenting with the human genome and putting, you know, a 10-foot guy out there. How big was it? Was he 8'1" or something? 7'10", whatever.
Big anyway. You know,
does anybody think that wasn't genetic engineering? Like that wasn't some kind of genetics research? So the technocrats and the futurists of our world don't have an ethical bone in their body. There's no part of that stops them from pushing future technologies that could be very freaking dangerous. I mean, we could talk all you want about predictive programming, but Terminator is pretty freaking predictive about what's going on in California right now.
Sure. You're not wrong, Abe. You're not wrong. And you know, the thing is, I think I'm more of an optimist than you are at the heart of it. Okay. I prefer to look at the world with the knowledge that evil exists and prey on the fact that the goodness of that world will overcome the inherent evil. Because this is, as we've said so many times before, this is a spiritual battle at the heart of it, okay? And those technocrats that you speak of, transhumanists, okay, they don't believe in God. They believe that they themselves are God. And these life extension technologies and these fusions of man and machine, you know, this is about them making their own desires manifest. Okay, God is not going to bless them with a brain chip. Okay,
eternal life is what Elon's goal is. He wants to turn his brain into a chip that lives forever.
So I think that's effed up, obviously. But at the same time, I know that these technologies are going to be developed. Okay, I am not naive enough to believe that this stuff is not going to come to pass. You know, the Elon, all we have to go on is Elon's public statements. Okay, he's talked about the dangers of AI. He's talked about the dangers of transhumanism. But at the same time, he's also said, you know, either somebody else is going to develop this stuff or I'm going to do it ethically. So he's stated that he has ethical intentions. Now, we don't ever really know for certain what someone is going to do until they do it. Elon might surprise us, or he may completely let us down. That's all the more reason that I think that we should continue to evaluate this situation, continue to watch it, and at the same time raise as many concerns as we possibly can about the evil nature that this stuff can possibly be used in. Let's take a look. His Neuralink chip. It's supposed to be ready for human trials within 6 months. Now, Elon has stated he's going to be one of the first people to get this. Somebody like Ray Kurzweil, okay, if he was developing a brain chip, I think that he would be implanting it in other people first just to determine whether or not it's going to kill them. Elon Musk would be taking a big leap of faith getting a chip implanted in his brain if he wasn't certain that it was going to be safe for humans to use. Now, what does that even mean? What does safe even mean? I don't want a chip in my brain. I'm not going to get something like that. This could potentially give people with spinal cord injuries, with total paralysis, the ability to walk. If that is possible, then I think that that's a wonderful thing. What about people who have had massive brain injuries, who are, you know, now brain damaged, they're unable to communicate?
Like politicians in D.C., like Chucky the Clown Schumer, the guy doesn't have a brain at all right now. Put a chip in there and see if you can get an improvement.
Yeah. Okay. I feel you. But, you know, so we'll have to see how this plays out. Elon Musk might get a brain chip and then, you know, he's completely lobotomized and that's it. You know, at the end of the day, we'll have to see what happens. I will never be getting something like this. And the point at which it crosses the line is when they start dictating what people get. Now, you know, one of those things that they have been working for a long time to have implanted in people is, you know, chips, RFID chips for identification. You know, never, not interested. You know, you can take that shit and walk on by. Not going to do it. But if they ever come by and tell us that we have to do this if we want to participate in the world, you know, I feel like that's one of those things that would be a game changer. That would be a deal breaker. And people would probably be out in the streets saying, absolutely not. I'm not going to go ahead and do this. Not interested in having that stuff put in my body.
Yeah, Chet, let's highlight D82, the positive sides of this, because I have videos out there on my truth, and I'll put them back out there later on today if you guys want to check them out. I'll find them. They're here somewhere. But there's TED Talks and a couple of others, so consider the source. However, you know, it's still worth listening to understand where they're coming from or where they're going to go with it. And the foundational argument of Neuralink and this type of research is for good, right? Let's be real about it. There is a huge part of this that is going to improve the lives of people who are, you know, are paraplegics or worse right now. And so the improving the lives of those who are suffering is a very noble goal. The problem is the other side of this, the metaverse world, you become an avatar world and you become a chipped human where all of your information is stored in a biochip in your underneath your skin, and then you have an implant in your brain, then define what human is at that point.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm not interested. Not going to be doing that. This is going to cause a number of major ethical issues to pop up once this happens.
The United Spot has a 2.5 minute new video that just came out. If you want to fit that in, otherwise I'll just shut up.
We'll play it at the end. How's that? We'll play it at the end. Okay. But you know, let's also be very honest about public disclosure. If in 2022 Elon Musk is telling us that Neuralink is ready for the public to use, how likely do you think it is that people like the elites of the world aren't already using technology like this? Or say, military applications haven't already been developed. You're talking about genetic manipulation. I'm certain China has developed super soldiers, okay? Seen some of those guys? Chinese people are not that tall normally, okay? How did they just get all the 8-foot guys to join the military? I think something's going on there. Across the board, if they are talking about it publicly, I think they've already been using it for decades. So these issues that we're these issues we're discussing, they may have already been worked out, and now they're bringing it to us for prime time. But let me go back to one more point on Elon Musk. Okay, back to the disruptive power that he has. As I stated, the usage of Twitter as a tool for the propagandists, as a tool for the deep state, is no longer okay. So what has that done? That has caused them to respond in kind. Now, Google.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Is pouring millions of dollars into a brand new fact check fund because they're not having Twitter do it for them for free anymore. Think about the power that Twitter wielded when someone like us would put out a factual statement, and then the fact checkers on Twitter put a big logo beneath it that says this has been found by Snopes to be fake news. Okay, that doesn't exist anymore. People like Joe Biden, people like Karine Jean-Pierre, people like Jen Psaki, they're now getting fact checked. So Google is going to increase their own fact-checking regime on YouTube and on other places that they control, dropping another $13.2 million into hiring people who are probably no longer employed by Twitter. I think that's a powerful thing to recognize, don't you think? I mean, like, you know, they have to. They have no choice.
Yeah. And it's... Okay, let me ask Chad. There's a great crowd out there today. Much love to all you guys that are out there today hanging out with us, and the interactions are great. I appreciate you guys very much. Let me ask you guys, have in the past, let's say over Thanksgiving, is there anybody out there that maybe doesn't believe that there's serious censorship out there? In recent discussions, has anybody out there had a recent discussion that they didn't believe that there is censorship out there? And now you're watching this become front and center thanks to Elon. So I super appreciate it. I don't have anything against Elon. I don't like the technocratic side of all of this. And he, you know, all of his stuff, his wealth and his money all comes from DARPA, you know, government contracts. And this, so there's much more that's behind the scenes than his PR firm putting out all the right, all the right PR. I'd like to hire his PR firm, actually. It's probably too expensive, but the bigger picture, right? And so I'm hopeful that the more free speech debate happens and the censorship is front and center, that gets exposed, that there's more people out there that are actually open to the idea that, yeah, that we don't live in a free speech, any kind of more near a free speech world. And it is very much a controlled speech world. There's people out there that don't actually believe that, bro, still.
Yeah. Yeah. What's most important to me is you just hit the nail on the head, is the conversation that is now being had that previously was completely and utterly suppressed. People like us did not have a voice. People like us are now on the verge of getting our voices back, and the general public is talking about what's been happening behind the scenes. What we have been preaching for years now is now a part of the public lexicon. That is powerful, and I think that we should be very comfortable with what's happening right now. I think that we are moving into a new era. You know, somebody in the chat said something about the Elon Musk brain chip Neuralink curing depression. There is an epidemic of depression in America, but also across the world. I tend to believe that depression is more a symptom of societal factors than anything else. Because the world is so ugly, it's so stacked against you, and people are separated more than at any time in our history. Even though we have this illusion of closeness with social media and people being connected electronically, I think that is really what we need to be addressing. And that is another reason why I constantly tell people to join communities locally. You know, whether it's church or it's a political organization, you know, if it's just dinner with family and friends on the weekends, you know, I think that people who surround themselves with other people who have a support system, who have a structure that they can go to, they're a lot less likely to find themselves completely embroiled in the deepest, darkest pit that they've ever had to face. And when you have people that you love and people that love you back in a group around you, you're never alone. Okay. And just remember, you are never alone. You have people around you who would happily pick up the phone for you, people who would probably come right over. It's just a matter of you recognizing that and reaching out to those people. Okay. Not everybody needs antidepressant medication. Okay. And even though I've said this before, you know, some people benefit from it because there are definitely like chemical imbalances that happen. And given the things that they put into our food and our water and the air, I think it's even more likely. But I think that most people would benefit from regular, proper community, people that can offer them support around them. And I think people jump to medications too soon. So I think before we start, you know, trying to cure depression with a brain chip, first, you know, start going to church. Get yourself somebody that you can count on that's right there. Start talking to God, and I think that we can begin there. Okay, for the second half.
In the foxhole, there's a bunch of prayer groups and people who do prayer groups for things. If you're not open to it, then just open yourself to it a little bit. Allow others to help lift you up. And it's a very powerful thing, and it'll help you get you through it. Do you want me to play that United spot or?
Yeah, go ahead.
To help lift you up, the United spot always will help lift a conversation. I haven't seen it yet. This just got released. I just saw this, this was 3 weeks ago, but it's okay. About Elon, so it's perfect.
Okay.
Good to go?
Mm-hmm.
You might need to boost the sound.
Okay.
Twitter complaint department, how can I help?
Oh my gosh, I like totally hate answering machines. Hi, this is AOC.
Hello? Hello?
Oh my gosh, you're here!
How can I help you?
Can I get you something to drink?
No.
Oh, well, now I'm just confused.
Are you having a problem with your Twitter account?
Oh, that's right. I'm having a problem with my Twitter account.
What seems to be the problem?
You're, like, totally censoring me.
I am?
Yes. Did I, like, totally get under your billionaire skin or something?
No.
Well, I almost died when I found out you're only paying me $8 a month to tweet.
I don't pay you $8. You pay me.
I pay you?
Yes. Pay up, please.
I pay you $8 a month for free speech?
Yes.
Oh, tax the rich.
Will that be cash or credit?
Really? Yes. This is how you become a billionaire, making people pay for a service?
Yes. Is there a problem?
Yeah. Twitter should be a human right.
I'm not the smartest person, but this girl is 3 fries short of a Happy Meal.
I'm, like, probably the smartest person I know. I mean, there's, like, totally a girl that lives in my bathroom mirror that's a little bit smarter than me. But, yeah, I'm pretty smart.
So, do you have a problem paying $8 a month?
Yeah! Now I'm gonna have to ask for a raise!
You need a raise for $8 a month?
Yeah! How am I supposed to live now?
I'm actually shocked you made it this long.
$8 a month for a blue
check mark is racist!
Could this be cash or check?
$8 a month is gonna ruin me!
It's not that much.
Not that much?
No.
I'll have you know that I'm a licensed economist / scientist.
Okay, so?
So, there's 22 months in a year, and if my calculators are correct, 8 times 22 is $8 million. Wrong. I have a temperature in economy. I think I know what I'm talking about.
I think you mean a degree?
Whatever. I only make $174,000 a year. I'm barely making it. I can't afford $8.
Okay, but don't you sell sweatshirts too?
Yeah. I'm a Philip Antitrust, and all my proofreads go to kids who don't read so good.
So the proceeds go to your campaign?
Are you saying I don't read so good?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you totally want to date me.
No.
Is it because I'm a woman of color?
No.
Oh my gosh, you're literally staring at my big juicy booty right now.
That's a lie. I don't see anything big or juicy.
Socialists don't lie, okay? And I know you're staring at me. Everybody stares at me. Everybody wants to be me.
Okay, is there something I can do for you?
Yeah, wait, what were we talking about again?
$8?
Oh yeah, can you do $9?
$8 is the best I can do.
Will you take $9.50?
What about 10?
I was really hoping to get 11.
Best I could do is 12 bucks.
Done!
Congratulations.
I am so good at what I do.
Me too.
The United Spot with some hitting the nail on the head there again. You gotta love him, bro.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so the second half of the show is brought to you by My Patriot Supply. You can go to preparewithredpill78.com, save $250 off a 3-month supply of food. Make sure you're ready because shit's about to hit the fan. It's always about to hit the fan, isn't it, Abe? I mean, things are just getting worse and worse and worse, but we have to survive. We have to persevere in the face of all of this craziness. Case in point, Uvalde, the Uvalde shooting. Did you hear about this? One of the mothers is suing the police and the school district, which I totally agree with. Okay, I think that this was an avoidable scenario, not only on behalf of the FBI, but especially on behalf of the police and behalf of the school district. If I was that cop whose wife was murdered there at the school, I would be suing the police department. But she's also suing a gun manufacturer. Okay, and this is where the problem lies for me, because it's not the gun that committed the crime. All right, so what happens when we start blaming the tools that are responsible for this? You know, I mean, I've said this before, you can use a hammer to build a home or you can murder your neighbor with it. It's a tool. It's all in how you use it. This tool itself was not built to kill children at schools, okay? It's been perverted by people who want to take them away from us. And the mother of this child who passed away in this tragic Uvalde incident is now suing Daniel Defense. Daniel Defense, you know, one of the largest manufacturers of AR-15s in America. This is a bad look. This is a bad thing that she's doing here. And my heart goes out to her. I'm sure she's hurting, but I just don't agree with it.
I was very disappointed in recent legal rulings at appeals court, and I think they're working their way up to the Supreme Court level about being able to sue gun manufacturers. In fact, it was a recent ruling that was very disappointing on this front, and I think it's Smith and Wesson and others are still working very hard to, you know, on the legal side of this, to push very hard against back this. But you have a bunch of activists, judges, and prosecutors who are pushing this through. It's an all out assault on the Second Amendment, right? That has been very clear for a long time, and the courts have only strengthened the right to carry or own a firearm. So now they go after ammo, gun manufacturers, accessories, every kind of lawfare angle they can go. And, you know, this has been going on for a long time in the country and people are finally waking up to it. But the recent legal rulings, bro, are really bothersome on this level of being able to go after gun manufacturers. I hope that, these upcoming legal challenges, probably not into late next year, I think, is probably the earliest you're going to start to see movement on this. That's how long this crap takes. But we're going to have to wait for the legal challenges to play themselves out. And it's sad to watch, bro.
It is. It's extremely sad. And you know, I mean, our system is obviously broken. You know, the fact that we're even here having this conversation, I mean, you know, it's been perverted. We know this. But we have to play within the boundaries of the game that we're actually in. And that's the unfortunate part.
But we have to keep fighting, and we have to keep supporting the people who are fighting the good fight. And I've said this a number of times. I'm a member of Gun Owners of America. I would suggest that if you're going to support a Second Amendment organization, you would support Gun Owners of America. You know, at the same time that something like this is happening, there's incredible stuff happening down in Texas. There are challenges to the NFA. And it might actually get completely stripped based upon this case that we're seeing down there in Texas. So it's like give and take, you know? It's like we take one step forward, we take two steps back, you know, and vice versa. The same back and forth. Gump says, how much of this dollar does Rumble give you back, and what percentage gives you the best percentage of your tips? I believe that Rumble takes 25% of everything. So for every dollar, it's 75 cents that goes towards the creator. You know, Rumble, while we're live, is, you know, it's great because I get to see the message and then I can respond to it. Buy Me a Coffee does pretty much the same thing. I check those at the end. I don't know how much that takes. I want to say that one actually takes 12.5% or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, every single donation platform is going to be taking a percentage of it. Cash App does not. Again, that's not my Cash App. That's Lisa's Cash App. But you can find that information in the chat. That one actually doesn't take anything. But, that way I can actually see a message, too. Okay, we're getting towards the end of the show here, Abe, and I want to make sure we talk about some good stuff, some stuff that I think is important and shows us that we are making progress on certain issues.
Real quick,
yeah, go ahead.
Before you pivot, Chad was saying what part of the Second Amendment is hard. We used to say a long time ago, we used to try to expose this as the Marxist agenda that it is. It really is an attempt to disarm you, and people didn't take us seriously. Now people see the lawfare side of this and the attack on the Second Amendment for what it is, and it's not just conservative or right wingers or whatever they may be. The vast majority of the population knows that there's the Second Amendment is a key to foundation to this country. So they see that it's part of that awakening too, but it's the lawfare side of it is the scary side of it. And you've been doing a great job of exposing that, but go ahead. I just wanted to make sure, because Chad was basically saying that as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, and I've also spoken openly about the possibility that the United States, you know, at some point may become balkanized. Not necessarily that we're going to split apart, but it's obvious that the Democrats are working on controlling certain areas. And down here in Florida, one of the states where we had tremendous success in this most recent election, it may be necessary for you to leave your home state if you feel that you're getting squeezed out, if you feel there's nothing you can do locally, if you don't think that there is a way for you to fight back. I would say there probably is. But, you know, in certain areas, it's difficult. Michigan is one of those areas. A lot of people are starting to give up. However, in one of those places where you might not expect it, Flint, Michigan, they actually were not happy with the results of the election. And apparently they did not want to certify their election and they couldn't they couldn't come to an agreement on it. But the Michigan State Board of Canvassers, you know, they were fine with certifying the election, even though some of the people there had problems with it. But it goes to show you that the residents of Flint, who have been really pushed around, they were one of the first places to see the stripping away of jobs and industry when the automobile industry left. You know, Michael Myers, isn't that his name? The Democrat filmmaker. He did a great job in that movie, Roger and Me. You know, I mean, I remember when that came out as a kid, and I thought that was pretty illuminating. And even though it's mostly Democrat in Flint, the people there are standing up and they have something to say about the fact that their election wasn't free, it wasn't fair, it wasn't balanced. This is a good thing. However, based upon the experience we've had in these elections, you know, those slim majority of people who don't feel represented, they may need to move someplace else to get that representation that they require. And as I said, Florida is one of those places. Florida has just divested $2 billion from BlackRock because they're part of this, overarching social engineering operation that's going on all around the world. BlackRock has their fingers in a lot of stuff, soaking up real estate, gaslighting people on the environment, the social issues, the trans issues, and also trying to get Democrats into power. So Florida taking $2 billion out of BlackRock's portfolio. That's a tremendous weapon. Can you imagine what would happen if other states in the nation did the exact same thing?
I freaking wish every state. That has been the interesting side of all of this. The financial side of this has, you know, there's some of us that have tried to touch on this as much as possible and try to expose all of the money laundering scandals, the 1MDB scandal, the fallout from the Pentagon Papers all the way down to the Panama Papers, plus the leaks in South America. I mean, all of that stuff that we have been digging into and looking into for years and years and years now, the fallout of all of that has been just amazing to watch. And I don't think that the truth or the realities of the changes in all of those funding mechanisms ever since Hillary's funding mechanism kind of through the Clinton initiative and the rest, all of that kind of crashed, right? So the whole funding mechanism that was put in place that's part of the globalist regime of getting taxpayer monies laundered into however else they want to do it, it has kind of fallen and has been systematically taken apart the same way that you would do it for an organized crime unit. The truth of all of that is for real. But it hasn't been explained to the American people. Nobody, not even anybody in the business world has really talked about the extent to which, the funding mechanism for the globalists that are tied to Hillary and all of these others have been just systematically been destroyed for a long period of time. It's amazing to watch. That's the truth of Ukraine and all the rest of this, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And speaking of Ukraine, Sam Bankman-Fried is out there right now doing a series of interviews talking about what he was doing. Obviously, he is not supporting the idea that he was funneling money back to the Democrats. Claims now that he gave just as much money to Republicans as he did Democrats. We know some of it because we saw some of it going to McCarthy and McConnell's super PACs. But he claims that through the miracle of Citizens United, he was able to funnel dark money into the hands of Republicans. Now, that's something that can't be proven unless he kept good records, and it appears that he didn't. So I think that remains to be seen. But his justification for doing it that way actually makes a lot of sense. He said that he was more likely to get positive press because they're all liberal if he didn't do it through traditional methods. I believe that. I believe that that's a possibility. But I also think that Sam Bankman-Fried is going to go down in history as the largest single fraudulent Ponzi scheme in the history of this nation, probably in the history of the world. And I think it's really stupid of him to be out there giving these interviews, you know, making himself, you know, come off as some type of bumbling idiot. He had a lot of information about what was going on. And the people that worked at Alameda and at FTX, they're exposing him for having deep, deep involvement in all of the fraud that was happening. Bernie Madoff went to prison for the rest of his life. If they don't send Sam Bankman-Fried to prison for the rest of his life, I think we're going to have a lot more pissed off people. And Abe, you had a graphic on the connections between FTX and Ukraine and the Democrats. I mean, this is about as incestuous as it gets. I was wondering if there were any Republican connections that were available on this graphic here.
Oh, well, that's the thing, right? There is, you know, it's similar to, let's see, what's the best way I could, Kleinsmith or one of these, you know, the Fall Guys of the story when Sam Bankman is just, he's, you know, he probably knew that he was just used as somebody that, is a go-between for the rest, right? So the big picture of all this was out there by Garrett. I think he put this out there yesterday and said that you guys need to make sure you all see this. But if you look at all of the connections, it is the globalist who's who, you know, tied to the Uniparty, NATO, on the top left of there was Zelenko and Poroshenko, the first two right off of that. So what does that tell you? All of the money that ties in, you know, this public private partnerships is what they like to call it. It's a who's who of haves versus have nots, right? Ministry of Digital Transportation, the National Bank of Ukraine. Looky here, Privat Bank, right frickin' there. Anyone surprised by that, right? No. If anybody's looked into the Privat Bank scandal, that ties into Burisma, all the rest, but that does keep going. I'll just keep naming names. I'm not going to try to explain all the links right now because we can do a whole show on this. I'm just going to name a bunch of the names that's in here. The Congressional Leadership Fund, McConnell and McCarthy, Senate Leadership Fund, political campaigns, 2022 elections, straight from money from Ukraine, Everstake, Kuna, Aid in Ukraine, of always the aid companies. Of course, you have the Biden crime family linking straight to through Burisma to Obozo and his whole regime. Of course, Hillary's tied in along with the Euromaidan revolution, the Azov battalions, and the shadow wars and the shadow brainwashing, societal controls and societal experiments on people. That's what these people have been doing. Ways to control people, ways to radicalize people, ways to turn Muslims against whites. That's what all these people have been doing. They've been weaponizing people for a very long time and then making money off of them. The rest, bankruptcy. I don't know. Let me see here. Interest groups and lobbying groups, Securities and Exchange Commission, Sequoia Capital. Anyone who's looked into Sequoia and how they tie into the World Economic Forum and the rest is just laughing right now. Of course, it's a who's who of the rest. Sam Bankman, of course, ties in here along with, Stanford University. I don't know these faces right here. So the last few, Get Out the Vote, the anti-Trump campaign. And then, of course, the two clowns in general, Chucky the Clown and Nancy, who, again,
American Gothic.
Yeah, if you're gonna work on someone's brain, work on theirs, because they clearly need help.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we are near the end of the show. We have some breaking news coming out of the Gateway Pundit. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed to hear Gateway Pundit's motion for emergency release. They are requesting funding to help with their lawsuit. This does have the potential to have an impact in Arizona. Perhaps if it was some case precedent that was set, then we would be able to see something across the country. But this is in regard to a suit against the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and some of the largest names that we've heard from during this entire, a sad saga at the end of the day. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, something to be watching over the course of the next couple of days. I think they're probably going to come to a swift resolution on this, considering that it's related to the election. I mean, that's the only thing.
I hope Arizona shuts down the whole freaking state on the 6th, and I wish the whole country would shut down. I wish everybody would say, you know what, a national sit-in on the 6th, everybody stay home, nobody, and use a national protest against what's happening in the last election, and especially in Arizona and Pennsylvania. I mean, we could just unite behind those two, but that's what really should happen in this country if people were really awake. But it's been fun hanging out again, Brian. I missed it the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, missed you too, brother. You know, the people of Arizona should be up in arms. I mean, not only did Maricopa County steal this election, not only did they fund efforts to defeat America First candidates, but they're also stopping legitimate press people from being able to report on the true nature of what happened. You know, they're controlling the narrative, allowing their friends from the AP and probably Time Magazine, the New York Times and the Washington Post. You know, they all get access to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. They're not going to ask the tough questions. The Gateway Pundit is one such organization that's going to honestly discuss the problems that we're seeing there. And if the information can't get out, then the people can't be apprised of what's happening. So it's all the more reason for the people of Arizona to be there in person and demand that this is going to be addressed. Kerry Lake still has a case that's ongoing. We're going to have to see what happens with that. You know, I know everybody hates this waiting game. You know, you've got all these deadlines and you've got these certifications that have to go out. And it's a process. It's a process. We got to go through the process. Northern Pike says, Red Pill, I ask you to look this up and pay it forward. 7 discoveries. I'm actually trying to get Mr. Brunson on the show this weekend. So I've been waiting to discuss it in depth with him. But thank you very much for that. And I appreciate it. Kerry won her case. I was not aware of that. Hang on. Let me actually see about pulling this up. Kerry Lake, Arizona case.
Shout out to Matt over there in the Foxhole. You guys have been doing great work out there. Matt, I've been having problems playing videos while chat is moving. I have to stop pilled while I'm playing videos. Otherwise, the video keeps pausing and playing during. It's like it's getting interruptions from the chat or the stickers. Just want to let you know.
Okay. Well, I'm not able to find anything about it right now, guys, but I will do what I can to pull that up for later today. Over on the Foxhole, Big Mamu, thank you for those gold pills. Just Duckies, thanks for that cookie. Allison, thank you for the can. Manamanan, thank you very much for the can. Uncensored Abe, thank you for the cookie. Who cares, says Zach and Abe 07, we have to talk about the loss of freedom of speech. It's true. Donna Bo Libby says prayers for Uncle Paul. Scout 65 says prayers for your Uncle Paul. I decree the operation will be successful and he will recover quickly. Bitch Toria says thank you for all you do. Nakaz 808 says Joe Rogan had a post today about the evolution of man, ended up as a robot, Neural Skylink. Where's John Connor? Yeah, that is unfortunately the direction that I think they're trying to push us. Maggie May, thank you for the cookies, for the shades, pardon me. Darth Q says love and light, patriots. Where we go one, we go all worldwide. Slug Trail says when the laws of man fail, the laws of nature prevail. Nikki the Greek, thank you for the cookie. A. Allen Godwins, thank you for the shades. And M. the Painter says, Abe, those are his parents and brother, center bottom. Sam Bankman Fried. Sam Bankman Fried.
Gotcha.
Okay, awesome. Okay. No, Incognito Moon says she meant Kerry won. Yeah, Kerry definitely won the election. But yeah, so maybe that's why I couldn't find anything about victory in a lawsuit. Okay, I'm going to pass out these gold pills, and that has been released. At 5 p.m. today, I am doing a special stream on the channel with Nate Kane. He has a special announcement he's going to be making here. If you tuned in over the weekend, then you may have heard the preview of that, but we're going to talk about it in depth today, so be here at 5 p.m. Links for that will be coming out shortly. Abe, anything you want to tell the audience before we go?
Tell Nate hello for me. Much love to him. I have a lot of love and respect for him, and he's been in the audience, out lurking in all different channels and stuff. Much love and respect to him. So give him my love. I'm finally getting more settled into to everything, but if you could help me keep the lights on, fam, I could use your guys' support. I know we all could out there. You guys, everyone's are kind of struggling, but if you could help in any kind of way, uncensoredave.com or where the links are, I could use your guys' help keep the lights on into the next month or so here. Finally getting into the groove again here, but man, it's been a rough couple of months putting in everything in. So thanks, guys. My schedule, again, keep an eye on my social media. I'm kind of going live here and there. I need to be flexible for the next couple of months, so keep an eye on my social media and stay flexible with me, fam. Help me get through this next couple of months, and then I'll be back into normal going into end of February and March next year. But I'm going to need your guys' love, support, and prayer for a little while here. Thanks, guys. Much love.
Okay, thanks, Abe. Thank you, everybody at home. Until tonight, good luck and God bless. We'll see you at 5.